Well, hello, everyone. I'm James Dobson, and I'm here with Dr. Meg Meeker. And we are breaking into our regular scheduled program today because of something urgent taking place in the state of Colorado. This is breaking news. It really won't wait. And so I hate to disappoint people who were expecting one topic to be discussed, and all of a sudden we're going another direction. But the former Senator Bill Armstrong will be with us by phone in a moment to talk about some very, very disturbing developments in the Colorado State Assembly. Actually, the Senate, I believe. And he just got off a plane. He's in North Carolina. And we will be talking with him in a moment. Senator Armstrong is now the president of one of my favorite Christian colleges. It's located in Denver, Colorado. I love that school, and they are really staying true to the things that I believe, and I think most of our listeners believe as well. And he's been a friend for a long time. Dr. Meeker and I want to talk to Senator Armstrong again because of the relevance of our topic to our listeners, primarily in the state of Colorado, but it really should be of concern to Christians all across the nation because it reveals graphically where the abortion movement is and what the pro-abortion people want to do, where they want to take us. So with that, we are going to have an impromptu conversation with Senator Armstrong, and I believe the senator is on the phone, and let me just explain what's going on. First of all, Senator, are you there?
I'm right here. Hello, Dr. Dobson. It's good to be with you.
And it's good to hear your voice. I understand you just got off the plane in, North Carolina?
That's exactly right.
And you obviously flew there because you have responsibilities there, and yet you took the time to return my call, and I appreciate it.
Well, I'm very glad to do it, and I'm so glad that you're focusing attention on this issue.
Well, we just got the news that Senate Bill 175 is being discussed in the Colorado State Legislature, and from what I know about it, which is not a lot, I'm very alarmed by it, and I wonder if you have more information than I do, and can you give us an overview of what's coming down?
Dr. Dobson, the reality is that I don't have a lot of information, but what I do have is very, very troubling. In fact, I'm not just concerned, I'm horrified, because as I understand it, this bill seeks to further liberalize Colorado's already very, very permissive abortion law. I mean, we are one of the leaders of pro-abortion thought, a horrible thing to contemplate. But this legislation wants to take it still another step, and it's really a radical approach because, as I understand it, this bill would sort of establish an absolute right of abortion and would preclude the requirement for parental notice, as an example. I think most people, even pro-abortion advocates, would recognize that parental consent for a young girl is a responsible and thoughtful thing. Similarly, as I understand it, it eliminates the idea of waiting periods so that a young girl won't be rushed into making a decision, but can have a few days at least to think it over. It would eliminate sonograms, and I just think it goes too far. I mean, I believe that where we already are goes too far. But to add to this, new restrictions on any kind of regulation that would moderate abortion or that would give parents the chance to consent or the children involved, and these girls in many cases are children, give them the right to think things over before they make an irrevocable, life-changing, life-ending decision. I just think it's horrible. And that's why I think it is fair to label this a radical piece of legislation.
It's my understanding with, again, the limited information that I have, is that it would make it impossible to change the law in regard to these provisions in the future. In other words, especially referenda that would establish parental consent or those other provisions would not be possible. This is going to close the door to those efforts to protect the unborn child. And we just cannot hang around and let this happen.
If that's true, and I'm not sure whether it is, I think that's in the heart of the sponsors, but I don't quite see as a legal matter how they could do that. In other words, I would think that anything that can be passed by statute can be amended or repealed by statute. But there may be some aspect of it that I'm not familiar of, and honestly, I've not had a chance to study it in detail. But I don't see how they could create a unrepealable or unamendable
Isn't that unconstitutional?
I have no idea. Some people would say, why are you going on the air when you don't have all the facts? Mm-hmm. The reason is because it comes out of nowhere. It's because
exactly. They
spring it on us and we don't even have an opportunity to oppose it. Mm-hmm. And these are the things we're concerned about. Let's just call them concerns. These may not be facts, but the people of Colorado and even across the country who want to respond really ought to let their voices be heard to make sure that they're not going there, that these things aren't going to be foisted upon us, and that they're not planning to do something that would take our breath away. And it looks like that is what is about to happen.
It certainly does. And I share your sense that as we learn more about it, we'll be in a better position to comment. But this is not a time to relax and be complacent. Mm-hmm. The legislative session is going to come to an end fairly soon. And the fact that this comes up late in the session, they're moving quickly on it, tells me that they'd like to rush it through and have it on the governor's desk before opposition has a chance to mount. Now, I don't think they're going to get away with that, because I think huge numbers of people in Colorado will object to this. And my earnest hope and my belief, actually, is that God will answer our prayers. And second, that when legislators realize what a storm of controversy they're stirring up, that they'll think better of this idea and perhaps withdraw the bill. But we can't be sure of that, and
yes.
So we certainly need to get everybody fired up to contact their state senators and state representatives, if it gets out of the Senate, to protest this legislation.
Even if people do nothing more specific than call those that have sponsored this legislation and say, what are you trying to do? What are the provisions of it? And if they are as we have heard they are, we're not going to forget this. By the way, the sponsors are Senator Andy Kerr from Lakewood, Democrat, and Senator Jeannie Nicholson. She is a Democrat from Gilpin County. And there are others that are behind this as well. Those are the only two names that I have at this time.
Well, I certainly think being in touch with them about it is a good idea. But I also think contacting for people who might hear this broadcast to contact their own state legislator is a good thing. And there is a website, and I regret that I can't tell you the link. I don't have it in my mind, although I sent it out to some friends yesterday. There is a website that actually permits you to look up who your legislator is and what their email and phone number is. It's really a wonderful way to instantaneously
yes.
communicate.
Well, there are red flags waving. Senator Kevin Lundberg, he's a Republican, said that this is one of the worst bills that I've seen in terms of public policy. He's been around for quite
that.
A while, so this really does look like it's an opportunity to cram something down the throats of the people of Colorado before they have a chance to realize what's taking place.
Jim, while we were talking, someone just handed me that link. Would you like me to give it to you?
I would.
It's openstates.org/find. _your_legislator. I looked at that website yesterday, and I thought it was quite good. I thought it was, I was not familiar with it, but it gives you just a way you can put in your zip code, and it'll come back to you and show a picture of your legislator and the name and how to contact them.
Well, we will repeat that at the end of our conversation so people can write it down And I do hope they'll get whatever information is available out there and then let their voices be heard.
Absolutely.
I have something put in front of me that refers to Colorado's Catholic bishops who are rallying their flocks against this bill. In an open letter, Denver Archbishop Samuel Aquila urged people to stop Senate Bill 175 and urged them to contact their congressperson or the media. Why would he be asking us to call our congressperson?
I don't know that he asked them to call his congressperson. I'm surprised at that. I think I saw the archbishop's letter, and I thought he said your state senator, but I may be wrong about that. But that's who they should be in touch with, is not a member of Congress, but a member of the state Senate first, and then of the state House of Representatives.
Well, Bill, you have served in the Congress, in the House of Representatives, and then in the Senate, and you have stood for righteousness through all these years, and I've appreciated that. And thank you for letting us get in touch with you, and we will check out the facts, and we will try to keep our people informed, if not on radio, then certainly through the Internet.
Jim, I appreciate what you're doing on this and what you do every day. You're an inspiration to me, as you are to millions of people around the world. And your voice, not only today, but over the last 30 years or more, has been so influential and so needed, and never more needed than it is today. This is a moment for God's people to gather together, to link their arms together, to pray together, and then get busy to act on some of these problems in every way they can, in their communities, in their neighborhoods, in their businesses, in the political sphere. This is the decisive moment, I believe, in history on some of these issues.
Well, I began working with you when you were in the Senate, and I grieved when you left, but you're doing a good work today. Yeah. Dr. Meeker,
you want
to comment?
You know, I think as a physician, I see legislation like this, and it just sends chills up my spine, because I think not only of protecting the unborn and the abortion, but protecting the young girls out there, 12, 13, 14 years old, who maybe push through or go through with an abortion and their parents don't even know about it. You know, I can't even give a flu injection or an immunization in my office without parental consent. But to perform major surgery on a young girl like this without her parents knowing is really, really appalling. And I bet you there are many people who even are pro-abortion who would not like this bill, because many of them even would say, yes, you know, an ultrasound is good, or yes, parents need to be involved. So this is really, really a radical bill.
It is a radical bill, Doctor. And your point that the girls involved are victims.
They're victims. Absolutely.
Absolutely right. It changes their life forever.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And the whole idea of clean clinics and, removing health codes from abortion clinics, again, it just makes me shudder, because I have personally taken care of girls post-abortion who are having complications, and I, as a medical doctor, can't deal with them because I'm not a surgeon. And when I try to find OBGYNs, reputable OBGYNs, to help these girls, they don't want to take care of them because they don't want to mop up somebody else's mistakes. It's chaotic. It's a nightmare. And I also want to point out that the majority of obstetrician gynecologists out there who are reputable don't come anywhere near performing abortions on these young girls. It's just too controversial for them. And
can you imagine?
As well, it should be.
Yes, it should be.
Can you imagine that for 200 years, parents have held the absolute responsibility for the medical care of their children and other kinds of care? You can't give an aspirin to a child without parental permission, or you could be charged with battery. And yet you can take a 13-year-old girl and have her transported to an abortion clinic without parental knowledge. She goes there. She may have a traumatic experience, probably will.
She will.
She will remember for the rest of her life. She might have an infection. She might continue to bleed. She comes home that evening, having experienced one of the most significant things in her life, in her entire childhood, and the parents are not even allowed to know it.
To know it.
There is something vicious
something
about
very,
that.
And that's why we, everybody who is listening to this, need to stand up and fight for those kids, because that is an assault on a girl's body that verges on really sexual assault. I think of these young girls going in. They are cognitively and emotionally and intellectually not prepared to make such a serious decision. They need their parents' counsel. It is very traumatic to them. And so it's a much larger issue than just protecting the unborn children in the mom's womb. Really is much broader implications.
Mm. Doctor, I couldn't agree with you more, and I compliment you. I wish everybody in America could hear the statement you just made. That's absolutely right.
Thank you.
Well, we're going to continue to follow it. If you pick up any information that we need to hear, please do give us a call or shoot us an email.
We sure will.
Okay. I appreciate
Godspeed,
you, Bill.
Jim. Godspeed, Doctor. Best to both of you.
Thank you, Senator.
Bye-bye. Well, I do appreciate Senator Armstrong talking to us about it. His heart beats exactly with ours on this issue. It does break my heart. I've mentioned many times that there's a big Planned Parenthood just two blocks from my house. Mm-hmm. And every day when I drive past, I see these cars that are sitting there, and you know what's going on inside. And it grieves me that it's taking place. Those babies are being sacrificed. And Meg, I just read from Life News. I get that as an email every day, it mm-hmm. seems. You do, too. Mm-hmm. And I just read that since January the 20th, 1973, worldwide, mm-hmm. not just in the United States, 1.7 billion babies have been killed. Mm-hmm. You tell me that doesn't resonate in the heart of God.
Oh.
That 1.7, that's nearly 20% of the population mm-hmm. of the earth. And how many would have come from
exactly.
those babies if they'd have been allowed to live and grow and become families?
Well, and it's even more chilling to me to think that we're going to meet those children one day, and that yeah. mothers who have aborted them and fathers who have advocated for it are going to meet those children. And what do you say? So I so appreciate Senator Armstrong's passion and your passion for this issue, because the pro-life issue is very, very close to my heart as a mother, as a pediatrician. And as we were talking earlier, the things that really bother me about this bill, first and foremost, are the wanting to get rid of parental notification. What that says is, kids, you can't trust your parents because they're not really going to help you, because they don't really understand the issues. And I really think that that comes out of that old feeling in the 1960s and 1970s that, you know, if your parents find out you're pregnant, they're going to have a fit. They can't deal with it. They're going to kick you out of the home. We have come so far from them. So it really, that's not a justification for anything like that, that a child should fear telling her parents that something like
this. It's indicative that they're going for that.
Exactly.
Though. You know, the other provisions here is to eliminate ultrasound requirements, waiting periods, parental notification, and eliminate abortion clinic health code regulations. Now, we don't know if all of that is in the bill or not, mm-hmm. but that's what is, I think, behind the urgency of the emails that I'm getting, and of course the Catholic bishops are
getting, and they are concerned enough to have written to legislators that we talked about earlier. The interesting thing is that clearly ultrasounds are a huge threat to the pro-abortion people, because they, while they want to advocate for these young women's rights to do whatever they want, they are taking away her ability to know truth, because an ultrasound shows what's really going on. It's a truth. So they really want to take that away. If ultrasounds weren't going to change that girl's mind and show her what's really going on, they wouldn't feel so threatened, and they wouldn't feel that they needed to eliminate that. So it's so hypocritical. It's really very hypocritical. It's interesting, too, in an age where government is wanting more control in our health care, in our lives, regulations, certainly in my life as a physician, that here is a place where the same people who advocate for government to have more Control over our medical decision making. They're advocating for less control. You know, that we should stay out of this and women should have the right to do whatever they want and we should just sort of stay out of it. It's just, it's so incredibly hypocritical.
Yeah, it's really interesting what the connection is between abortion and the efforts to eliminate any reference to abstinence. They do not want these girls not to get pregnant because they make money from it.
Exactly.
I wish everybody knew, I'm about to tell them, that you served for a couple of years on the Medical Institute.
For sexual health, many years, probably 15
health.
Years. Yeah.
And
yeah.
I love those people. Dr. Joe McElhaney and others are great friends, and he started that. Describe what the mission is of that organization, and why did you spend 2 years of your life as a physician? You could have done a lot of different things. Why did you do that?
Well, I fully believed in what the Medical Institute for Sexual Health was doing, and here's what we're doing. In the 1990s, a group of physicians came together and said, wait a minute, sexual activity for teenagers is not just a spiritual or religious issue. It's not just a moral issue. It's a very serious medical issue. And we have more than enough data to present to parents, school educators, sex educators to say, look, any teenager engaging in sexual activity is engaging in very high-risk behavior. And I testified at a congressional hearing several years ago on the prevention of cervical cancer. And then head of the CDC, Dr. Julie Gerberding, talked about the best prevention of cervical cancer in young women was two things, the only two things that we could do. And one was to delay the sexual debut in a girl as long as possible, which means really marriage, and to reduce the number of sexual partners to as few as possible. And that would drive down disease. At the Medical Institute, it really was sort of a think tank about sexual decision-making and sexual activity. And we reviewed many, many of the best medical papers out there to say, look, we need, as a group of physicians, as teachers, as parents, to be on the same page, to teach kids not to be sexually active, because when you start at 14, 15, 16, your risk for getting an infection is extremely high. Today, one in four kids, just teenagers out there, has a sexually transmitted infection. When we started the Medical Institute, when Dr. McElhaney started it, at that point, 15.3 million Americans every year contracted a new sexually transmitted infection. And by today, in 2014, that is well over 20 million Americans every year contract a new sexually transmitted infection.
The media
doesn't want
you
to talk
to
about
know
it.
That.
Absolutely not, because when you come forward and say sex isn't for kids, which I think any parent out there would agree with, every physician agrees with, they all know it's not good for kids. It's not a healthy decision from an emotional standpoint, but mostly, you know, from a physical standpoint. But when you go out and you advocate for that, the forces against you, the political forces and the economic forces, a lot of money to be made, not just for Planned Parenthood to keep kids sexually active, but for corporations, because they make their money by selling sex to young kids.
Well, for those who tuned in late, we need to explain that we had another topic that we're going to talk about today, and we have set it aside because of the urgency of what is apparently coming down in the state Senate of Colorado. And the implications of it, while we don't know all the facts, this just broke in the pro-life news. I doubt if it's going to be on the secular news. They're not going to mention this, but we've got to get the word out to Christians and pro-lifers throughout Colorado, but from around the country as well, to bombard the state legislature with protests for what they're about to do. Now, I've just got time to let people know how to respond. First of all, there is a link. I hope you got a pen and paper so that you can write this down for more information. It's called openstates.org/find_your_legislator, and you'll get up-to-date information on what is going on and how to contact your legislator.
And we strongly urge everyone out there, we have to have our voices made very clear. It's Senate Bill 175, and we believe that this could have huge implications to bring down the pro-life stance and community. So we strongly urge you to go to openstates.org/find_your_legislator. Please look up who your legislator is and email them, write a letter, make a phone call. Terribly important.
And be in prayer.
Be in prayer. Well, this has been quite a program, and I strongly urge you, as Dr. Dobson said, please be in prayer for our senators and legislators who are going to be acting on this bill. If you want more information about our ministry and the great work we're doing here, please give us a call at 877-732-6825 or visit our website, drjamesdobson.org. Well, thank you for joining us today and being in prayer. We'll see you again next time right here on Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk.
Family Talk is not affiliated with Focus on the Family.